must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when we are talking about the will of God, we have to understand it isn't just some academic exercise to find out what does the Bible say about, but it's an issue of getting into the Bible to find out what we should do and how we should behave. I quickly reviewed last week this outline, the meaning of God's will, God's sovereign decree or purpose, God's plan or purpose for individuals. We saw the importance of God's will. We need to seek God's will because negatively we can ignore God's will. We can misunderstand it. We can reject it. We can abuse it. But positively, we need to know God's will because, you know, as Pastor Nathan had Sunday night mentioned, that it will make us wise, and it should be our goal, and it should help us in our prayer. And it's if it's God created purpose, for God created us for His good pleasure, and so for His will. And so we saw how to determine God's will in our lives. God's will in many matters is clearly taught in the Bible. We don't have to wonder if we should pray or study God's Word or witness, and so on. We go to the Bible and it's very, very clear. But God's will is revealed to us when it's not specifically mentioned. One of the directions of evangelicalism today is this tendency to think that if it's not specifically mentioned in the Bible, it's okay to do it. And that is not true, because there are some things that, even though it's not specifically mentioned, doesn't make it right. You know, so when we look at, you talk about cocaine. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about cocaine. Or the Bible doesn't say anything about Google. It doesn't say anything about how you drive your car. You know, so we say, oh, it's okay to do whatever you want in those areas. No, there are principles that will help us to determine God's will. Now, when we consider a principle, we see this in contrast to a precept. So we're using this definition that a precept is something that's specifically stated in the Bible. But a principle is a basic truth drawn from precepts which apply to everybody. So it doesn't matter what age in the world you live in. And what I mean by that, whether you were born in the 1st century, the 6th century, the 12th century, or the 18th century, or the 21st century, whatever age you're in, these principles will apply to you. And again, the reason why we're doing this is not so that we can just be smart and say, okay, I can argue an argument and I can amaze and amuse my friends and what I know in the Bible. No, the purpose is to find out what we can do, because we want to, as it says there, diligently seek God. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we go to the Bible and we see that it won't go, Ken. All right. We go to the Bible and he'll get it up there. We see that there's some examples in the Bible for principles. So you have the Ten Commandments. And certainly as we saw in the Ninth Commandment, that thou shalt not, or the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So whether it would be my neighbor's donkey, or whether it be my neighbor's cat, or whether it be my neighbor's shoes, or whatever it may be. So, there is a principle there. Now, also, David and Goliath, we look at that story and we see a lot of stories in the Bible. One of the ways God instructs us is giving us these incredible stories. And it illustrates to us how God thinks. And of course, we mentioned that in the story of David and Goliath, God illustrates that through God, we can defeat the giants in our lives. The two greatest commandments, we're told in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, that those two commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, he says that all the laws of the prophets, the law and the prophets, can be found in those two statements. So, in other words, loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself, that is a principle that would say that involves everything. So, last week we were reviewing this, and I'm reviewing this because we didn't start back at this for a couple months because we pulled away in December on this. So I wanted to kind of bring you up to date on that. But I did quickly go through these principles. And there are several principles in the Bible that will help us determine what God wants. And we just click through these real quick last week. So let's just click a little bit slower this week. Okay, the first principle is this. Will this conduct that I'm doing, or this thought that I'm having, or this activity that I'm involved in, is it right or is it wrong? Now, the principle of faith, we're told in the book of Romans that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, the fact that you are even asking the question, which is a good, legitimate question, but until you know it's God's will, why not just stay away from it? Why do it when it could be wrong? And if you're not doing it of faith, that doesn't make it right just because I don't see any problem with it. Well, there's the opposite side of that. Sometimes there could be a problem with it, and I'm not really sure. This group of people say it's wrong, and this group of people say it's right. How many have ever had good Christians debate over issues? Of course you have. And good people will ask these questions. They'll say, well, you know, if it's right, what about this verse? And someone said, well, if it's wrong, what about this verse? Well, what does that mean? That means that it's to our best it's to our best interest to say, okay, until I've really studied this out, I'm just not going to do that. I'll give you an example. Should you own a television set? Now, some of you say, well, what do you mean own a television? Everybody owns a television set. Well, I've heard Christians say it is wrong to own a television set. All right, so you say, okay, I don't know, is it wrong? Well, until you know it's right, why do you have it? So you might say to yourself, well, I don't see any problem with it. Okay, well, give me your biblical reasons why you don't see any problem with it. Now, you could ask that question. Now, somebody else might say, well, you know, I think it's wrong to watch R-rated movies. Someone else said, well, I don't see any problem with it. Everybody lives like that. So you are in this dilemma, whether it's right or wrong. Now, have you studied it out? Now, your conscience cannot be your guide. Because you say, well, you know, I don't see any problem with it. Does that make it right? Or I do see a problem with it. Does that make it wrong? Because we're told in 1 John 3 that if our heart condemns us, then God is greater than our heart. So in other words, sometimes our conscience can be wrong. But the point I'm making here is this. There is a principle of faith. If you doubt it, this was an old Ron Hamilton song. If you doubt it, how many have ever heard that? Should we all sing it in unison? No, we won't. But I'll sing it in solo. If you doubt it, what's the next word? Don't do it. Take time to pray and think through it. Yeah. So you got this truth, though. This truth is basically, you know, there's a principle there. You know, if I'm not sure, why would I do it? See, I can do it and it could be wrong. And then I have sinned. Now, if I do it and it's not wrong, then okay, I got, you know, that's good. Because I got to do what I wanted to do anyway. There's a principle of faith. Now, what you're going to see in these nine principles that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to get through them in 10 minutes because I can't spend the time that I just spent on the first principle and get through these because there's three of them I haven't given you yet since December. But when you consider these nine principles, it's very wise to take them together as a whole. And the reason that is because some people don't see anything wrong with taking cocaine. Some people don't see anything wrong with illicit sex. Why? Because they don't have a conscience about those things. And sometimes they don't even know what the Bible says about those things. So just because somebody doubts it, you know, doesn't necessarily mean they're right or wrong. So you want to take into consideration these other eight principles that we're going to talk about. What about the principle of harm? Now, we spent some time on that. And that, does this harm me physically? So this is why the classic illustration of that, do you know what it is physically? I'm just wondering if anybody... The classic illustration or example of hurting yourself physically are cigarettes. All right? Now, I'm not saying there's not other applications of that. But why would I avoid tobacco? Where in the Bible does it say it's wrong to smoke a Winston? See? Well, the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So therefore glorify God in your body, which is God's. So I ask myself, okay, do cigarettes hurt people? How many say yes? Okay. I'm going to get ready to ask how many say no, because if you're not going to answer, now almost every one of you. When the Surgeon General determines that smoking is hazardous to your health and is on the side of that package, I don't think so. Okay, you don't have to think so. But I know I'm going to stay away from something that's going to hurt me. You see. Now, you know, does it hurt me mentally? Now, we mentioned R-rated movies. We mentioned television, for example. You know, is this going to put wrong thoughts in my mind? All right, so I have to ask myself that question. So somebody would say, well, why would I watch and endorse what the Bible very clearly states is wrong? Why would I do that? Well, you might know it's not God's will and do it, then of course now you're dealing with confession of sin. But to say I don't see anything wrong with it, well, does it hurt you mentally? Does it hurt you spiritually? So the Bible speaks about not letting your good be evil spoken of. So I might, take a position on something just because I don't want to be a bad testimony to others. For instance, I'm never here alone very long with my secretary. Am I right? All right. You say, well, you don't trust Rusty. Or you don't trust yourself. Well, that may be true. And I don't distrust you. But what's a bigger picture? Somebody is constantly seeing myself with somebody of the opposite sex. That can be a bad testimony. It can hurt me spiritually. So the point is, there's a lot of applications to these things. You know, I used to have a friend who said that during work, this is in the days of Fisher Body, General Motors, he would say that everybody from work during lunch break would go out this certain door because right across the street was Jack's Bar. So you know what he said he did? Now, you don't have to agree with him or not, but he said, you know what I did? I never went out that door because I didn't want anybody thinking I was going to the bar. See, what was he doing? He was basically saying, I'm trying to protect my testimony. See, there's the principle of addiction, which states that I will not be brought under the power of anything. Now, whether it be, as I mentioned, cocaine, or whether it be alcohol, or whether it be something that is a tendency for you to get involved with, whether it be television, whether it be whatever, then we have to be careful that we do not become addicted to anything. Because who should be controlling me? God should be controlling me. There is the principle of the stumbling block. We spent 3 weeks on that. And we looked at the fact that there are some things that I allow and I can get away with, but if somebody else did it, they would stumble. Now, to stumble does not mean they're offended. Now, the Bible uses in 1 Corinthians 8, about the idea to offend. To offend is to cause someone to fall. And so there's this principle that I need to be careful that even though maybe in myself it doesn't hurt me, I don't want to hurt others. You know, so as a result, I know if I were to drink alcohol, because I come up with all these verses that say, the wine in the Bible is not the wine of today, and so therefore I don't see any problem with drinking alcohol. Doesn't affect me. And one of our members, well, if the preacher does it, I'll do it. And they become an alcoholic. I don't want to ever be the cause of somebody else stumbling. All right? There is the principle of being a godly witness. And this has to do with the idea of testimony again. Be always ready to give an answer to everyone that asketh you of the hope that lies within him. So, I mentioned cigarettes. And I always remember a good friend of mine. When I first got saved, his name was Richard Miller. Richard Miller was a drunkard. He got saved. They called him Wino before he got saved. And when he got saved, he quit alcohol, but he couldn't get over cigarettes. And he was out witnessing on visitation night, and this husband, wife, somebody they knew. And the wife knew that he smoked cigarettes. And you know what she said? She said to him, Well, you better not start trying to tell me how to clean up my backyard until you cleaned up your backyard. Right then, Richard quit smoking cigarettes because he said, you know what? It was affecting my witness for Christ. All right. The principle of God's glory, whether what you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We want to give the right opinion of God. And will this thing that I'm saying is okay, does it truly, properly represent God? There is the principle, and now let's get into three, and I've got 2 minutes to give these three. Okay, the principle of God's presence. Now, is God with us or not? All right. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we understand that God is always with us. So I have to ask myself this question. Can I ask the Lord to go with me to do this? Would I want God to be there with me watching this? Would I say, Jesus, would you come over and let's go do this? That's a good question. And one of the principles that we understand is that God is with us. You know, just because you put him out of your mind doesn't mean he went away. And we have to understand there's this principle of God's presence. Or what about the principle of Christ's example? Now, again, what is that? WWJD, is that right? There was a whole book written on that. A guy was from Topeka. Did you know that? In His Steps, I think the last name was Sheldon, he wrote this book. And how many have ever read the book? Anybody ever see the book? You ought to read it because it's kind of interesting. It's about how this Christian came to the conclusion, you know, I'm not going to do anything unless I ask the question, what would Jesus do? Now, that can be very subjective because some people would say, well, Jesus would do a lot of things that the Bible contradicts because they don't know the Bible. But knowing the Bible, because God's will is clearly stated in the Bible, but if we know the Bible, we can ask that question. Would Jesus do that? Would Jesus look that way? Would Jesus act that way? Would Jesus talk to that person that way? What would Jesus do? And then finally, the last one, I want to give you the principle of readiness. Would I want to be doing this if the Lord came back? Now, I always imagine in my mind one of the greatest places to be if the rapture occurred is if I was up at the altar. You know, I tend to think that way. I think, man, I just want to make sure there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Boop! Hi, Jesus. You know? But can you imagine doing something that you shouldn't have been doing? You almost feel like Peter, right? What did Peter do after he denied the Lord 3 times? The Bible tells us, I believe it's in Luke, that after Peter denied the Lord, remember, cock will crow twice, you will deny me thrice. After the third, the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of Peter met. And what does it say that Peter did? He went out and wept bitterly. So, we need to ask ourselves some of these questions. And sometimes good people are going to see some of these things differently than others. You know, I can accept that. But I think to not recognize the fact that there are some principles in the Bible that really would help me to know what is His will. Not so that I know what His will is, I'm going to do it anyway. But now I know what He wants, so that when I don't do it, I recognize that it's sin, so I have to confess it to the Lord. When I do what He tells me to do, the Bible tells us certainly we should be ready. For He says, "Watch therefore, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, Lord, help us as we serve You. Thank You for Your word. And Lord, as we continue this subject of God's will in the following week, I pray that You would give us great understanding so that we would do Your will. And Lord, help us to diligently seek You and to seek Your will. For Jesus' sake, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.